Welcome to our fourth episode of Spirocast. Today we're broadcasting from the boiling fields in the rough lands of Grizzleheim. How's the water, Kyle?
Ow.
A little hot, isn't it? We would like to thank both of our loyal listeners for tuning in today. I am Davis Spellbreaker, level 50 Grandmaster Thaumaturge, and to my left, your right, our host, level 50 Grandmaster Sorcerer and Savior of the Spyro, Kyle.
Hello, everyone. It's Kyle, and with me, as usual, is David Spellbreaker. We have some interesting things to talk about today, so let's get right to it.
First, we're going to talk about reviews, what we've been up to over the last couple of weeks. And I've been up to really not a whole lot. I have, on David Spellbreaker, been trying to find my level 50 gear. And if you are a follower of mine on Twitter, you've seen that I've had a horrible time getting anything from Yiva.
Yiva Spider Keeper.
She's not my friend. She does not want to drop my stuff, and I'm really getting perturbed over it. The other thing I did is I have been working in Grizzleheim. I'm trying to get through that because there's some news we're going to talk about a little bit later on, and I don't want Grizzleheim to be in the way. So I've been really working hard trying to get through that. And what's great about Grizzleheim, I guess, that I can say about it is it's really a cool area. It really is, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. It's not as cool as Mushu, in my opinion, but it's, like, the next best, in my opinion. If you're, like, a nature person kind of person, then, yeah, probably.
Yeah, it is. I like it. Of course, as level 50, I'm not getting any points for going through it,
right.
Experience points, but it has been cool going through it, fighting different characters, all new characters, of course, then Dragonspire or anyplace else. So it was really neat going through it, and I'm really enjoying it. I think, by all estimations, I'm about halfway through, I guess, so a little bit of work to go there, and when I get tired of that, of course, there's always Yiva. Yiva. Not a big fan of Yiva. It's kind of like Black Lotus.
Yeah.
And Scrap Iron. Not a big fan. Anyway, on my secondary character, Jacob, Skullbreaker, he has finished up Wizard City. Of course, he's a myth character. And he is now moving into one of our favorite places, right?
Krakotopia.
Love Krakotopia. Love the music, love the scenery and all that stuff. So that's what I've been up to. A little bit here, a little bit there. Also doing a little bit of crafting with David Spellbreaker. Still working on some Black Lotus. Trying to pick up some cat lilies. Cattails.
Cattails.
And ore. And doing some transforming of that into Black Lotus. So still working on that. And we'll keep working on it. So, Kyle, what have you been up to?
Well, like you, I've been pretty much going through Grizzleheim because I really want to finish Grizzleheim before the news that we're going to talk about later. And, you know, it's just been that. And on the subject of farming for Grandmaster Gear, I really haven't did much farming. I got my robe from Malastare, my Grandmaster robe from him, and I got my Grandmaster ring from one of the Gurtoks, and those are the only two things that I have.
So, well, that's one more than me, because I only have one thing, and I've been a Grandmaster, what?
Way longer than I have.
Right, and I've been trying to get these things, I just can't get them to drop, unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's been... just Grizzleheim is what I've been doing the past week, and Easter Day today, this entire week I have off of school, so I might be able to play a little bit.
Yeah, this week. Absolutely. One other thing I want to mention on Grizzleheim is I've looked, because I've been hunting ore all over the place along with several other reagents, and I have found that overall, Grizzleheim has been a great place. There's some certain spots in there, some great places to pick up ore. In fact, I found one place, one particular area. It has two spots for ore, and they regenerate pretty quickly. And it doesn't seem to be a lot of traffic through that area. So I've really been harvesting some reagents there. And so If anybody wants to know any more information on that, send me an email. I'll give you the particular spot. But really a great place. I don't want to give it away because I don't want anybody else to use it. But if you really need to know it, send me an email and I'll give you the spot.
So just to finish up, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing the past few weeks in Wizard 101.
Cool.
So now we're going to go into some listener questions or emails. And
right, we got one email. Well, we got several emails, but one of them in particular comes from Katie Nighttamer, level 33, Magus Necromancer.
I always thought you said it Magus, but Magus.
Magus, yeah.
Magus, okay.
And this is her email. Every time I go to the Commons area in Wizard City, I get a ton of requests to be friends from beginning players, in brackets level 10 and under. David and Kyle, as level 50 players, you must get a lot of requests as well. How do you guys manage those requests? Thanks, Katie. Good question, Katie, and I'm going to go first if you don't mind. All right. I really have no particular way of managing it, other than if I'm in a mood to say, to accept the friend invitation, I'll accept it. If I'm really not in a mood and I'm really having a hard time with Yiva or the reagents, then I just click on no and move on. I know there is a setting on there, and I've used it a couple of times, that you can refuse all or not accept any invitations as friends. But I generally don't use that. But I know sooner or later my friends list will fill up. And then maybe that's a way to deal with it, right?
Just get
your friend list filled up, and then you're done.
I've seen some grandmasters around Dragonspire, and you know, every once in a while you might want to have a few grandmaster friends. So you try to be a friend with them, and it says, "We're sorry, but whatever their name is, friends list is full." So once you get that many people, then you won't be able to get any more.
And for our listeners, I'm sure most of them know about this setting, but how do you get to the setting?
You press escape on your computer, or you go to your spellbook at the side and go to the options down at the bottom. And if you go to the player settings, I'm pretty sure, it says somewhere in there, allow friend requests. And you can press no. You can choose no, and it will automatically reject all of them. And I've had people do that before, and what it says is whatever your name is not accepting friend requests at this time.
Okay, so that would be a good way to cut it down, Katie, if you didn't want those. And also another neat feature I found in that area is once your friends list does get pretty big, there is a setting in there as well that if you don't want anybody to port to you, It'll stop that from happening.
That and trade requests.
Right. Those can be aggravating too.
Yeah, and group invites.
Mm-hmm.
So you can turn off all those things.
Yeah, and especially the port thing, you know, if you're in a fight and you're trying to, you know,
get
15 Draconians or whatever you're trying to do, and then two or three people port to you and you're on death's bed, and all of a sudden it pulls three or four other enemies in, and you end up getting...
It's like, I've had it happen to me before where my spell is just about to kill him. Like, literally, I'm like, it's about to, and somebody ports, and then another one joins. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, and that was your last one you probably needed, right?
Right.
So now you have to fight a couple of more because some people ported. So use those settings. It's a great way to filter. If you really want to focus on what you're playing at that particular time, then it allows you a little bit of privacy, I guess is a good way to say it.
Right.
So thank you, Katie, for that email question. I think it was a great question.
Actually, you said privacy, and now I remember it's the privacy settings that you go to, not player settings.
When you hit escape.
Right.
Okay, very good. Thanks again, Katie. Next, I think Kyle will move to news.
Right. So, Grandmasters rejoice as King Zile releases the official announcement of the development of the new world, Celestia. And that they are raising the level cap.
Hallelujah.
Yay!
Woo!
So, that's what we were talking about earlier when we said the extra news. I really am trying to get through Grizzleheim before Celestia comes out, so that I don't have any left Grizzleheim quests that I still have to do, because I want it just to all be based on Celestia to
get yeah, you have 60. You have a nice clean slate going into Celestia, because I think it's really going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Now, there is, I am confused a little bit, and I'm sure it'll all make sense at some point, but Celestia underwater. I fail to see the connection in the names, but with the new secondary schools that they announced as well, then that name Celestia kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, well, I know Celestia is like a sky thing. I always thought it was kind of like star related or something like
Celestial.
That. Celestial. So, yeah, right. And so I don't know what it has to do with underwater either. But so also they released new 3 secondary schools of magic. Now, these are only secondary schools. You cannot have these as primary schools.
As far as we know.
Right.
Right.
So they are also coming, oh, I forgot to say, the 3 new secondary schools of magic is Sun, Moon, and Star.
Now, I think that's interesting, though, that I don't think they're going to be primary schools, because obviously by the time you get to that point, you've already selected your primary school.
Right.
And I don't know if they would go back and redo all of the beginning of the game just to add in 3 new primary schools. So I really think they are secondary schools, which is neat, because, you know, I've always struggled with secondary schools. Well, do you want this one? Do I take a little bit from each? All that stuff. And I think it's going to be nice to have something different to look at that is just primarily a secondary school. So a lot of different ways they can go on the spell. Are they going to be mostly helpful spells to help other players? Are they going to be attack spells, defensive spells, whatever
right,
they're going to be?
And that's what's been running through my head. Sun, Moon, and Star. What kind of spells? Sun, Moon, and Star. I just don't get what kind of spells that would be.
It's going to be interesting, and that's the whole, you know, they just gave us enough information to get us hook, line, and sinker, and now
right.
we have to wait for it. But I don't think it's going to be long, because they are releasing this in 2 separate releases, correct?
They are releasing the World Celestia in summer of 2010, and the 3 new schools of magic are going to be included with a new pet system that allows you to craft your own pet, and they're saying that pets are going to do more than you ever imagined. So I think that was our question from last podcast: what would you want your pet to do? And I think it would just be like a maybe they give you a special card that makes them do something instead of just normal.
It's going to be interesting how dynamic that part of the game is, because I'll be honest with you, I enjoy the pets to a certain extent. I'm not a real big pet collector or anything like that. The only reason, in fact, I do have a pet is my Colossus, and it's because it gives me a card. If my pet did not give me anything, I could care less about my pet, to be honest with you. You know, hopefully this adds another, and I think it will, add a whole nother dimension as far as your pet actually helping you out. Are they going to be included in battles to help you out in some way in battles? Will you control what they do in battle, or will it be more like a minion situation where they kind of just do something on their own? I would hope there would be some control there,
right.
But maybe not. I don't know. But it's going to be add a ton of layers, a ton of depth to the pets. And one of the big questions I have, because I do use my minion quite a bit, especially when I'm fighting by myself, what happens to the minion if your pet has a real big role, or can have a big role in a fight?
Yeah, that's true.
What happens to your minion? Because right now, even if I have 2 minion cards, like I'm doing with Jacob,
mm-hmm.
Myth character has a bunch of different minions, but you can't cast more than 1 minion at a time.
Right.
To help you out in battle.
Right.
So can you have a minion and your pet help you out? In what fashion is the pet going to help you out? It's going to be very interesting. I think the pets will add more attributes to your character. Spells, health, target, whatever it is, resistance. more so than actually in the battle. But maybe so. I don't know. We have to wait.
Yep. So, that and, I haven't said, I think, I'm pretty sure they're releasing that update in the spring.
So, right, the pets, yeah.
Right.
So, actually, so I was wrong.
It's
Celestia is in the summer.
Celestia is going to be in summer, and then spring is going to be the new Schools of Magic with the new pet system. So we have a little while to wait for the pet system, but Celestia is almost among us. So
no, other way. The pet is the pet late spring for the pets, right? And Celestia is in the summer.
Right.
So oh the pet
okay, I'm
pets
like...
are almost here. Pets are almost here. So that'll be interesting, and that should carry us over. And we probably won't even notice how much time has passed by, and then we know it, Celestia will be out.
Yeah. So next thing in the news, we don't have a lot of news today, but next thing, King's Isle is having a crown sale. And for a limited time only, you can purchase 60,000 crowns for only $59.99 instead of the usual of $80, which is, in my opinion, a great deal.
Absolutely a great deal. I think the normal ratio is about, 1,000?
$1 to 1,000 crowns.
1,000 to a dollar. No, it's usually like $1.25.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a little bit more. Now, with that special, it's $1 for 1,000 crowns. So, that really is a good deal. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a crown player or you buy the worlds,
right.
You don't have a subscription,
right.
Then that is a very good savings and happy they did it.
So that's all for news, and now we're going to have audience questions from last show. And just a quick review of the question, what would you want your custom crafted pet to do?
Seth Death Whisperer thinks, and this is his email, I think that pets should turn into mounts, and I wish that you can pick what spell you want it to. So again, control. We were talking about control earlier.
Right.
Like how you pick your spells and spell cards are all lined up together. So maybe you have a separate area on your deck lineup.
Right.
That
so,
just for your pet. So if you want your pet to cast a certain spell,
yeah,
you would pick
maybe,
that one.
Maybe if you have like your, like the normal GUI right now, and then maybe on the side they have a little arrow that says like pet on it, and you could click on that and go to like maybe the pet spells.
But this is why I don't think we'll actually be able to do that, and we won't have control, because a spell takes, what?
Pips.
So, are they going to make a module where the pet accumulates pips alongside of you, or does he actually enter the battle in one of the four slots like the minion, and in which you have no control over? So, it's really going to be interesting how they work that out.
Yeah, it's going to be, I can't wait, really, to see what it's going to be like. It's going to be an exciting update. It's kind of like addition to the mount update. You know, that was like the biggest update ever, and this one's like kind of its aftershock, I guess.
Absolutely, this is going to be huge. The other part of his email was, last line, I would like the cards to pop up like that when your pet is going to attack. So, that was the last part of it. So thank you, Seth. Appreciate it. And the next one's from Hunter Wildrider. He says, hi, I'm listening to your third episode right now, and thank you for putting my question on your podcast. My answer to your question is I have a piggle, so I would want it to turn into a big giant piggle, which would be pretty funny,
yeah.
And take away 500 from each enemy, and then give you 250 from each enemy. Here's the attachment for review. Hope you like it. So, yeah, that would be interesting, too. Again, it gets down to what role those pets are going to have with us.
Right.
Will they be able to cast damage spells and that sort of thing? And you know what? We could talk about it all day long and speculate, but we'll just have to wait for it, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, not really, but...
well,
but
it builds up the excitement.
Yeah, the longer we wait for it, the better it'll be. So I guess in a way it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit more. I know we went over it in the news, but have a little bit of time to discuss Celestia and all the updates and everything. And it really is great and refreshing, because we've said it on other episodes before that okay, once you get to level 50, there is a whole lot of things you can do. But for me as a player, I love leveling up, and I love getting to that new place where I haven't been before. And that's really just going to add just a ton of layers to the game for me. And I think it obviously continues interest with level 50 Grandmasters. And I think it's something that needed to happen. I don't know if they waited for a certain amount of players to get to level 50 to make sure they had enough people to go roll over into Celestia. I don't know how they determined that. But for me, it not at the perfect time, because the perfect time would have been maybe 3 or 4 months ago leveled out. But at a pretty good timing. And again, I think this is their commitment to the game, is that they don't want to have a stagnant game. They're adding new features, adding new things, and it just keeps you hooked and keeps you playing. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's a good thing. It also shows you that they do have a commitment, that there is going to be other things probably beyond Celestia.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Right. Now, the biggest question that I've had running through my head is what, like, the Grandmaster gear that we have right now. Once you reach level 50, are you going to be like a super Grandmaster or something? Because they can't just like take away your Grandmaster gear.
I wouldn't think they're going to take that gear away, but I would imagine within a relatively short period of time, you're going to have even better gear that you can get in Celestia.
Right.
So the level 50 gear thing may not be as important going forward, because once you reach level 50, there'll be another world with better equipment and all that stuff. So it may not be as big of a deal as it was for us becoming level 50 and not having any place to go. But I'm sure there'll be those who want to farm it, get it, you know, so they have it in their collection.
Right.
But I don't think they'll take it away. I think you'll just get bigger and better things.
Yep. So now we have a few school reviews that we got submitted. The first one was submitted by email from Brandon, and he says, well, first off, let me say that it's a life school review, which I forgot to say. Life is a very fast-paced school because battles go faster. When you're life, it's easier to fight because of all the healing spells. Sprite, Pixie, Satyr, Rebirth, etc. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about health much. But one good thing about it is your attacks are wonderful. Also, a bad thing is during PvP, everybody loves the life when they're on your team, but the other team targets you first. Usually, everyone else shields you. And like Death, you can do a lot of solo work because Death can take health and give back, and life can pretty much heal to full health in one turn. I have a Grandmaster Death and a life, so I have a personal experience with both schools. Now, he has a little side note right here.
And I think that was for me because of my secondary school woes.
It says, P.S. You should go to Satyr, then quit, then go to Ice, then to get Tower Shield, then quit, then get Faint from Death and quit, then get Balance and Blaze and Traps from Balance. And it works because that's how I did my life, and I still have 2 training points left over.
And I think I am going to take his advice on that on my second character. Brandon, I think I am going to take that advice. I think I'm up to maybe 8 training points now. Seems like they accumulate really quick, either 6 or 8. But I am going to take you up on that, and I'm probably going to do that because I think it makes sense, you know, to get to the Tower Shield on Ice. You have that as a defense. Get to the Faint on Death, which is really important and helps you on attacks and the other things. So I'm going to give that a try on my secondary school, and I think it'll work out. So thanks for the information. I really appreciate it because I had never thought about that.
Right.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
No, I haven't. No. Just okay. So now we have one that was submitted by audio from Hunter Wild Rider. So I'm going to play that for y'all. And right after that, we're going to go into a new segment that we have called The Pyromancer. And it's about a 10-minute segment that we're going to have every podcast. At least we're going to try to get one every podcast. And it's a pyromancer, and he's going to tell you tips and tricks about the fire school. So I hope you enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hey David and Kyle, this is Hunter Wild Rider here, and I'm just going to do a quick 3 minute fire class review. Let me first start off by saying that I hate the snowman spell. I think it is one of the worst ice spells, because when I was doing Colossus Boulevard, I had to defeat the snowman people, and when they got 3 pips, they would throw that down, and that would put a boost on me, because I'm fire, and I really hated it. Another spell that I really hate is the fire cat spell and the fire elf spell, because I really hated it, because it took like 1 or 2 pips, I forget how many, to cast, and it did so little damage. But that was like when I was like level 10, 1, so that sort of thing. And I also hated Crocotopia, because like the first part of Crocotopia, like it's fire, so I hated that. And the O'Leary people, some of the bosses are fire, so I really hate that, because I got a lot of good fire spells, but that, like, for that resistance, it, like, resists it. A good thing on the side of good things, in Grizzleheim, there's a lot of ice people, ice spiders, yeah, you're afraid of spiders, and it doesn't really take that long to take them out, because in Grizzleheim, it's fairly easy. I think I'm on the verge of completing it. All I need to do is complete the Frost Home spell, like, quest, and then I'll be done, I think, with Grizzleheim. I'm not completely sure. And a little advice for you guys for Grizzleheim is that you guys should stack up on ice and fire spells, because those are like the 2 major, and life and death. Those are like the 4 major classes there in Grizzleheim. Because I know on your podcast, on your episode 3 podcast, you guys said that you haven't done Grizzleheim yet. So stock up on those cards, because they're gonna be that sort of thing. In Crocotopia, I got 2 spells for fire. One was from Sergeant Major, the guy that you first talked to. And the other one was from Krakotet in the Well of Spirits. Krakotet, he gave me a choke, which stuns all enemies for 1 round. And the Sergeant Major dude, he gave me a Immotate, which takes 200 away from you, and then takes 600 away from the other guys. The thing that I like about Immotate, if you stack all the boosts onto there, it'll come out to be 1700 1500, which I really like. Same way with the Sunbird one, it'll come out to be 500 700. All right, well, that's pretty much it for the fire class spell. Don't forget to check me out at youtube.com/gamersforlife. Gamers for Life is spelled GamersForLife, because someone else already took Gamers for the regular for life. Check me out, subscribe, friend me, do whatever, comment, watch my videos, rate, and that's pretty much it.
segment called The Pyromancer Story of Chris Firemender. This segment will be no more than 10 minutes long. Well, let's get it started. Roll music! Wait, what is this? What is this? Hey, turn it off! Come on! Don't press that! Press this!
Stop!
Do that! Just press this! That's better. Okay, here, play this one, okay?
Okay, I'll play that one, okay? This.
Alrighty, that's better. Alright, to the show. Alright, first on matters, there's a weird glitch going on in Marleybone, okay? If your friend is in a battle and it's just ending, and you port to him in Marleybone, and you get pulled into the battle, and it just ends, you'll be stuck there. No joke, this happened to me several times. Good thing I know the only way to fix that is to get into another battle. That's the only way to fix it. I don't know if, King's Isle knows about it yet, but you try it, see what happens, and if this glitch works for you, then report the bug to, King's Isle. On to the next matter. Odd but useful spells. Alright, this one is called Steel Charm. Okay? The spell, I don't know where you get it, but it's only for pyromancers. You can't learn it out of training points. You get it from a quest. What it does is, say you're in a battle with General Achilles at Achilles' Keep, okay? You and your friend are there battling, trying to harvest the blue ghost out of him, poor thing. And he casts a myth blade on himself to enhance the attack by 35%. Say you use Steel Charm, and, well, what happens is, the blade, it disappears from General Achilles and appears around you. You basically stole the blade, so you can use it, not him. It's very, very, very useful if you like stealing charms and defeating General Achilles. On to the next matter is another useful but odd spell. It is called Link. It's only for pyromancers again, but it's basically a healing and damage spell at the same time. Kind of like Ghoul, only this one is a round attack. You get 180 health per turn. Okay? You cast it, a little life thing appears around you, like from what you get from Sprite, and, fire thing that looks like the, you know what I'm talking about, but it basically burns your enemy and gives you light. I think it comes quite in handy because if you need healing and you don't have any healing spells, you can just use Link and you heal a little bit every time, just enough to get you past the battle, okay? But one catch to it is, if you have that, like you just casted it, then your enemy kills you, it doesn't heal you back. It can't. You have to be healed by somebody else, which is kind of weird. Alrighty, on to the next matter. There's some cool new updates coming up, and well, they seem kind of cool. Three new schools of magic. I don't know what they are, they don't say, but yep, three new schools of magic. Also, for Grandmasters, the level cap is being raised to level 60. Good news for Grandmasters, bad news for like level 20 to 25 noobs. I'm just gonna say noobs. But hey, you guys are getting there, okay? Just keep working and you'll end up as a Grandmaster one day. As I was saying, the level cap is being raised to level 60 and the new world crest, Celestria. Yeah, Celestria is coming in. Well, it's an underwater world, so maybe they can add some tritons in for you to battle, maybe. By the way, Triton Avenue is kind of misleading. It seems like you're going to battle some Tritons, but you never do. Kind of weird. Alright, another thing. I came across the bazaar one day, just selling stuff that I got from Nightshade and bosses and stuff that I really can't use or need, and I came across a really neat deck, level 15 and up only. And it's called Deck of Clarity, I think. It has a CLA in it, so keep a lookout for it. It gives you 40 max spells and 4 max copies, and 20 sideboards, so if you're wearing armor, junk, rings, amulets that you don't have really room for on your sideboard for at the moment, keep a lookout for Deck of Clarity. That's what I think it's called. I don't think it's from Marleybone, though. I think it's from somewhere else. Oh well. Let's see, what else is there? Oh yeah. For the people who don't have a membership yet, here's some words of advice. Get a Wizards 101 $10 card from like GameStop or something. It'll give you 1 month of subscription or 100 and something crowns. But I'd go with the subscription. I promise you, by the end of it, you'll at least be a level 25, just like me. And it also comes with a really cool pet. It's kind of like a piggle, only it's blue and gray, kind of like the death colors mixed with ice. And it gives you a spell card for your sideboard, Unicorn. It's very helpful, like, two of your friends are dead and you're the only one fighting whatever boss with, like, three or four other enemies around it. Minions or whatever. Use Unicorn and it basically heals everybody. Everybody should know that now. Alright, another thing. I've been making a website guild, kind of, for Wizards 101 players who already have or just have gained the title Journeyman. Me and my friend discussed over this about if it's one of the coolest badges you earn. I agree, aside from Grandmaster of whatever class you are. I think it's pretty cool, so I made a really neat website called Elite Journeyman of the Southern Spiral. Don't ask me why I called it Southern Spiral. That was just my friend's idea and it sounded cool. If you want to be in this guild and you do have the badge Journeyman, go to this website, elitejourneyman.webs.com. Let me say it again, elitejourneyman.webs.com. And if you want to contact me on anything that I've said right now or in this podcast segment, email me at phyron2@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell Phyron, spell it like this, phyrone2@gmail.com. Let me say it again, phyrone2@gmail.com. Well, our podcast is almost done. It's at 8 minutes and 30 seconds, and we have just enough time to cover one more thing. The quest that I did back when I was a level 15 was the Heckhound quest for pyromancers. It's quite odd because you have to go to several different places to get this alleged fire gem, and you take it to your teacher, and then, well, the professor of fire. Then she tells you to go into the fire tower, and the fire gem, hatches into a fire crow, which is basically a sunbird, only it's named different. And you have to battle it to get the spell. It's not really that hard if you have the right spells in your deck, but it's really odd. Afterwards, you get the Heckhound spell. Well, it's about time for the show to end, so I guess I'll see y'all later. See you next podcast.
How do you turn this off?
I don't know. You're the tech guy. You should know.
Well, I don't.
I thought you were a tech guy. That's why I hired you.
I am a tech guy. I'm not used to this new technology, okay?
How much am I paying you for this podcast segment anyways?
Pay? There's pay. I thought it was non-profit. Yes!
Oh yeah, it's non-profit, never mind.
Oh man.
But you do get this cool fruit basket.
Sweet!
Okay, thank you, Hunter Wild Rider and Pyromancer, for those two great segments. We're looking forward to putting more segments from you guys on our podcast. If you do have a segment that you want to send us, please do send it. Send it by email in an MP3 format would be the best. And so we have one more thing before we wrap up the show today.
Right, our next question.
Our next question.
And that question is... And we're looking for a bunch of answers on this. Be creative. Get us some answers on it. What creatures do you think we will have to duel in Celestia? And that's a really great question.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really, on the artwork, on the news release for Celestia, they really only, I think, had one kind of character rendition on the artwork. And it was this huge crab, right?
Well, it was that thing... When Meryl Ambrose made that big announcement where he wasn't exactly saying that, but it had, it was that pet thing, and it said, in there's a third one, and it was a crab, and it had a Celestia banner on it.
Yeah, it was like a Cyclops crab, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He had like one huge eye.
Yeah.
And he looks like, in my opinion, he looks like Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob. You know, because his top part is all bowed up and everything. He's really all muscle-bound and everything, except he's a crab. So he's kind of a cross between Larry the Lobster and Mr. Krabs, which is pretty funny. So what else are we going to have out there? Are we going to have SpongeBobs and starfish that we have to fight? It's going to be really cool. Whatever it is, it's going to be cool.
No, you know, one more interesting thing that I've been thinking about, how are we going to get around underwater? You think maybe they're going to create a coding kind of thing where our players, like, swim or something?
No, I don't think so. I think
Or maybe they'll have, like, some tubes or something that are filled with air that we just go around.
Right. I think it's going to be sort of that underwater Atlantis, obviously. But cities in bubbles or domes or whatever it may be, air-type areas. Because it would really be in-depth to add... swimming and how do you breathe underwater.
That would be pretty hard.
You know, and then maybe you have to eat gillyweed or something weird before you go underwater. So, all you HP fans out there.
Yeah.
But that is a good question. I think it's going to be where you just transport
from
area to area and there'll be different locks and
that or our players will just magically breathe underwater somehow.
No, I guess it could be that simple, they can do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, they're the makers.
So again, for the next podcast, which will be in 2 weeks from today, what creatures do you think we'll have to duel in Celestia?
So answers to this question should be sent to Twitter, which is @SpiralCast, which is me, or David @DavidSBreaker, which is David Spellbreaker. Facebook, which is Kyle Spiralcast, so Kyle and Spiralcast. Or you can send it by email, spiralcast@gmail.com. So spiralcast@gmail.com, or Kyle Spiralcast, or @Spiralcast, and @DavidSBreaker. I'm sorry. So, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you to our two loyal listeners out there. We appreciate it. And every time we have a podcast, they always leave us reviews, those two people. So we appreciate it. But if there's anybody else that happens to stumble across our podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. We certainly appreciate it. And we certainly enjoy doing it. So any feedback is certainly welcomed. And with that, may the good guys and bad guys always get exactly what they deserve.